From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudet, and this is Idaho Matters. Hollywood writers are on strike. So what does that mean for your movie and TV viewing fun? Plus, there's a new film opening in theaters that you simply must see, and Netflix has a new animated series out. You're going to love it. Here to help us figure it all out for what to watch this week is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice, who sat down with Jim Agudet to break it all down. Let's take a listen.
Okay, George, I love chatting with you, in particular about movies and film.
Thanks for the invite, Gemma. I love coming.
Okay, let's talk about this writer strike, George. I will say the thing that I noticed right away is no late night, talk shows.
Right. Late night talk shows, scripted television, movies, even soap operas are about to go dark. But this is just the beginning. This is going to stretch through summer. But you usually don't get change until there's pain. And that pain will kick in when the ratings start to plummet, as if we don't have enough repeats already. But I think that when revenues go down, ratings start plummeting, then the studios and the networks will probably get serious. But the writers are basically saying revenues have to be equitably distributed by the people who are responsible for the content. Now, executives will tell you that they're the ones who are responsible. But the truth is, it's the folks who actually make the content are responsible. So if someone's going to make more money, this is basic, right? Someone's going to make less money. But that is what is going to have to happen. Studios will probably stagger their rollouts of some films. We'll probably see a lot more quote-unquote reality television, in spite of the fact that we think most of it is scripted. I think we'll see a lot more competition television. We'll probably start seeing a lot more content from overseas, a lot more British and Canadian content. We'll probably see more sports, major league sports, but a lot of nonsense sports, too. Anyone who remembers the last writer's strike, it was pretty awful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So here's what I find interesting about this, though, George. Compared to the last writer's strike, streaming wasn't as prevalent, right, as it is now.
Right.
And I've seen and heard interviews with these writers, and I think people should know that, you know, these writers aren't making bank like the executives are, even like the actors are, or the producers, right? And yet these streaming services are saying, well, we have enough content, too bad. We don't need to give you residuals, basically. And what I find interesting about this, let's take Stranger Things, for example, on Netflix. It's been shuttered, right? This is the final season that the filming has been shuttered. These kids are already too old to be playing these parts.
Right.
Right? And so what happens then? I mean, you're right. I think this is a much bigger deal than even the average person is recognizing right now because this just started. I mean, let's come talk about this come September.
Absolutely. And you bring up a really good point with Stranger Things. A lot of people think that you can go ahead and make a series or a movie once the script is done. Stranger Things, like most decent productions, have writers on the set. It is not unusual. As a matter of fact, it's rather common for writers to be adjusting scripts on set. And then you're going to get to the uncomfortable point of the Actors Guild and the Directors Guild and all of the other unions, quote unquote, crossing those picket lines. I don't think that's going to happen. So until there's pain, and that pain, I think, will come in the form, like I said, of lower revenues for networks, which, in other words, lower ratings, then they'll get serious.
Yeah. Okay. So barring what's going on with the writer's strike, there are some films being released because they were done before this. And you're saying there's an under the radar film that we need to be going to.
Absolutely. Very under the radar. It is Carmen. Now, when I say Carmen, most of us think of the classic opera, Bizet's Carmen, right? Well, this is a very modern take on one of history's most tragic tales. And it's being billed as a musical. And I would say maybe a qualified musical, only because, yes, there's plenty of music. Let me talk about that in a moment. But first of all, here's the story. This Carmen is a young, fiercely independent woman forced to flee her home in the Mexican desert after the brutal murder of her mother. She survives a terrifying illegal border crossing into the U.S. A lawless volunteer border guard confronts her. He kills two of her friends, but a U.S. Marine comes to her defense, kills that border guard, and the two of them go on the lam to Los Angeles. She ends up in a nightclub where she becomes a singer. And here's where the music and especially the dance comes in. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of music here. This is from Nicholas Britell, who wrote the score. He gave us the score from Moonlight, and If Beale Street Could Talk, it is haunting. Let's just get a taste of it. I love this score. So here's the music, and I also mentioned dance.
Mm-hmm.
The director of the film is Benjamin Millepied. You may not know that name. It is his first feature film. That said, he is very well known around the world. He was a soloist with the New York City Ballet and director of dance at the Paris Opera Ballet. He happens to be married to Natalie Portman, who he choreographed in Black Swan, for which he won the Oscar. It's a beautiful reinterpretation of Carmen. Now, I've read some reviews. I saw this last September in Toronto. I've seen some reviews that are tepid. I adore this film only because it is brave. It is contemporary. I think it has multiple layers. But the dance, and you can imagine how beautiful the dance is in mm-hmm. this film. And then this music, I think it's rather beautiful. It opens, let's see, I think, I know it opens at the Flicks, yes, Friday, May 19th, so a week from Friday. It is called Carmen, but this is not the Carmen of your youth. This is not the Carmen of your parents' youth. This is a very different Carmen, and I love this film, and I hope it finds an audience.
Okay, you know this, George. I love a good documentary, so you've got one for us.
I do. It's called Being Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh.
Do I have you?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a new documentary film directed by Emmy Award winner James Adolphus, who did Soul of a Nation. It debuts later this month on HBO, and it chronicles the life and career of Mary Tyler Moore, who broke boundaries for female representation, of course, on The Dick Van Dyke Show and Mary Tyler Moore in the 60s and the 70s. Let's have a listen.
She was on the side of risk-taking.
Her morphing into Mary Richards was such a feminist statement.
Mary Tyler Moore Show hired the most women, and it changed the language of television. Women speak differently, and we have different ideas, and we have different stories.
May you have the pleasure and joy working with Mary Tyler Moore.
You were kind of locked up. The image on the screen never matched the real Mary.
She was no stranger to adversity.
I had a miscarriage, and when I was in the hospital, they discovered that I had diabetes.
When Richie died, that really changed her.
Just because you have a smile on your face doesn't mean you're not ready to go to battle.
I believe in tomorrow. I believe that things that are painful will not be as painful in some time.
Yeah, she experienced quite a bit of pain. Her own son died of suicide at the age of 23. So we think of Mary Tyler Moore with comedy and smiles, etc. But this is the same woman who gave us that performance in Ordinary People, right? And you're wondering, where did that performance come from? Well, this is where it came from. It's a wonderful documentary. A year ago, we were marveling at the great HBO documentary on Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. This is as good as that. It is called Being Mary Tyler Moore. It comes out later this month on HBO. Do not miss this.
Okay, so what about this new animated series on Netflix?
This has got to be the craziest show that's out there right now. You're going to hear about this, either from someone else, but I guess you're going to hear it from me. It is called Agent Elvis. Now,
what?
Yeah. So I think it's fairly well known that Elvis fantasized about being a FBI agent or a CIA agent. Even when he met with President Nixon, he wanted to be an undercover, as if Elvis could be an undercover agent. Anyway, this is an animated series with Elvis as a secret agent. It is a killer soundtrack because every episode has an original Elvis song in it. By the way, this is very, very adult. A lot of profanity in this. But get this, the cast. The voice of Elvis is Matthew McConaughey. The head of the spy agency is Don Cheadle. There's Niecy Nash, the guy who voices SpongeBob. He's the sound of Elvis's pet chimp. And Priscilla Presley is Priscilla Presley. And because she is an executive producer on this, she gave them the rights to Elvis's music. Let's listen to this crazy series called Agent Elvis.
Elvis. You were the cultural phenomenon. You started a revolution, Sonny Boy.
Viva Las Vegas!
Who are you people, and what is all this?
The chance to weaponize rock and roll.
Time for Elvis to become an agent.
Viva Las Vegas!
I'm not stealing from the president.
It's not stealing if it's not his. Same way, it's not murder if you do it with your eyes closed. Now go!
You boys stay with the car. Which means not buying coked up hookers, he said really clearly this time. Well, this is gonna leave a mark.
It's groovy, don't you think?
This is a cult in the making.
Wow.
It is called Agent Elvis. It's a series.
Wow.
And it's crazy funny, but it is not for kids just because it's animated, as a lot of animation is not for kids. It's on Netflix now, but check out Agent Elvis. Wow.
Okay. Can we wrap up by talking about the coronation of King Charles? I'm going to be super honest here, George. I did not get up early. I did not watch it. I did see little clips. In particular, I saw clips because my husband and my youngest kid were watching it as my husband was, what should I say? Interpreting what was going on in a British accent, all of his own. So that's how I viewed the coronation, but it was interesting, to say the least.
Absolutely. Depending on where you stand on the monarchy, the pageant of crowns and animal fur on capes and hats and more soldiers than we can count was either impressive or a chilling reminder of colonization. So I think it's fair to say that the Irish, they're not crazy about the English. Gemma, one of my weekend guilty pleasures, I watch Irish television on the satellite on weekends. Mm-hmm. And so I had to share with you some of the take from Ireland AM on the morning after the coronation. I was laughing my head off, but listen, this was their take on the coronation.
Okay. Am I the only one who looked at it and thought, this is completely barking?
Bonkers, yes.
This is bananas. No. I mean, I sat down at the beginning and thought, okay, there's going to be pomp and circumstance. But it gets to the point where you thought, if Disney did this for Frozen 4, you'd say, ah, lads, you're putting jam on it. This is too much. Like, bearskin, medals, diamonds, gilded carriages, 900 lads in bearskin hats. It's absolutely off its trolley.
A total lack of self-awareness as well.
It's just a pantomime.
You realize what it looks
like. I know, but it is
kind of similar. But this is like watching North Korea, if North Korea had been stuck in Aspic in the mid-1700s. This is a military display from 300 years ago. And the lads sitting on a rock.
My favourite thing of the whole carnival that was yesterday was Camilla going, I've done it, lads.
She's done it.
It's on my head. The crown is there. I've done it.
She never, and apparently 20 Diana's years ago.
Diana's spinning in her grave.
Well, that, I love it. That's putting too much jam on it. You know, the Irish somehow just bring it home. But I had to share that with you for all of the talk about the coverage. And it was, as the Australians put it, quite off the boil. But I loved that moment from Ireland AM this past weekend.
George, it was bizarre. I mean,
the crowd, the capes. I mean, it's like, bizarre. At what point do we give that up? Come on.
Right. I mean, we have the issues of colonization, imperialism, right? Mm. I mean, which is just, that's a whole nother topic, which is just abhorrent that I think that they are so tone deaf. With that said, I kept watching it being like, what's this weird little orb he's holding? And I mean, these crowns look like little kids, like Burger King crowns. I mean, it seriously, George?
Yeah.
I was like, this is bizarre. Now, I realized the last time this happened was 70 years ago. Maybe we could have changed things and I don't know, been a bit more, respectful.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was bizarre.
Well, Charles is, how can I put this? I mean, if he's not the most hated member of the royal family, he's certainly in the top two. So I guess it was, you know, his idea, oh, let's do what we did 70 years ago, only because he's well over 70 himself.
Right.
But come on, give up the ghost, folks. This is how you lose people.
Yeah, I found it to be the oddest thing ever. Well, George, as always, such a pleasure to talk with you. Great recommendations. Just love when you come on.
Thanks, Gemma. Check out Agent Elvis.
Oh my gosh, I will. We've been talking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, who of course spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition, talking about what to watch this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.